الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وصحبه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذي جاء بالصدق وصدق به أولئك هم المتقون. لهم ما يشاءون عند ربهم ذلك جزاء المحسنين. ليكفر الله عنهم أسوأ الذي عملوا ويجزيهم أجرهم بأحسن الذي كانوا يعملون. أليس الله بكاف عبده ويخوفونك بالذين من دونه ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد. ومن يهد الله فما له من مضل. أليس الله بعزيز ذي انتقام. صدق الله العظيم. As in our last session, we were towards the end of our long lasting chapter that we started many months back. As we were talking about the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and finally we were talking about the last days of his life and how he turned the Khilafah over to Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, when he became very sick and he realized that these are his last days of this life, he started calling different Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in and seeking their opinion about the Khilafah. Individually, he will be calling different Sahaba, and especially those who were considered great amongst the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his lifetime, and people with good understanding of this deen, and those who can have a right opinion about the matters of Islam. So he would call and ask them their opinion, and then he will throw out some names, 6-7 names. What do you think about these names? And of course, those were such selected names that everyone would say that we would never have problem with any of these people. You can choose any of these people and have no problem with it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, of course, he had spent a long time with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Throughout the time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a prophet of Allah, if there was any person who was always with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout this period of 23 years, in the state of Islam, that was only Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Because we know Khadija radiallahu anha was one of the first Muslims and first helpers. But she passed away earlier. And later on, those people who were Sahaba, great Sahaba, they became Muslims after some time. So the first person to become Muslim and then spend the life with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Nabuwa throughout the time he's there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is always telling him his secrets. And he knows everything about the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was only, and the only person who had that status was Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And because of that great knowledge he had of the Nabuwa, by being so close to the Prophet of Allah, he knew that there is only one person who would fit for Khilafah at this time. And that was Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He knew that this is the most suitable person and there is no other person amongst the whole Muslim Ummah that can take this position. So finally, after seeking Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in's opinion, he wrote it on a piece of paper. And of course he was so sick that he could not write it for himself, so he asked Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu to write it. So he was dictating it and Uthman radiallahu anhu was writing it. After writing that piece of paper, he folded the paper. Now he called all the great Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in in one meeting. And he told them that today we would like to decide about the Khilafah. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started the meeting with saying that I have individually talked to each and every one of you and I have got your opinion about who you would like to be the Khalifa. And here I have a person in this piece of paper whose name is written there, is a person that all of you agreed, he was one of the people that you people agreed that he can be assigned as a Khalifa. Would you people agree to it? They all agreed, yes. If we have chosen him, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we all agree to whomever you would assign as a Khalifa after you. He gave them the paper, they opened up the paper, and it was the name of Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. The first person who objected to this was Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu himself. He said, I cannot take it. I cannot take the burden of the Khilafah. Please assign one of the other people. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Umar, I wanted to assign you even before me. But you are stronger and you forced me to it. But now I cannot give it to anyone else. Umar radiallahu anhu again started showing his strength. He said, no, I won't even take it. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, are you disobeying Amir? Do you know that I'm Amir al-Mu'mineen? Do you want me to call for the sword? Or you will take the Khilafah? You know, they were close friends also. So I said, okay, Amir al-Mu'mineen, if this is what you would order, and this is what all the Muslims would agree to, then I would take it. Later on, some people started chatting among themselves. Of course, these people left, and they told everyone in the city, in Medina, that here, Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is assigned to be the Khalifa after Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So, you know, as normal, people went back and now they started having their own meetings. What can they say about Umar radiallahu anhu except one thing? It's too strict. We know he's a nice man. He's very strict. We can't teach him. We know that as far as Iman, he's better than all of us. As far as Amal, he's greater than all of us. in closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one can compete with him after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Talha radiallahu anhu went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and said, Abu Bakr, please. Many people have this concern that you have assigned a very strict person after you. And while he was talking to him, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was trying to convince him that no, he's the right person, Talha radiallahu anhu said, Ittaqillaha ya Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, you must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to be too strict on us. So fear Allah about us. That was it for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When he heard this word, he was laying down and wasn't able to get up. He asked the people to pull him up. When he sat down properly, he said, Talha has said a word that whenever anyone would use this word, then we have to get the right explanation of the word also. When someone tells you, fear Allah, this is not right, then we have to see whether we have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in choosing that matter or not. This is not a minor word, this is a great word. Ittaqillah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, that there are many Muslims, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهُ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ. When you tell him, fear Allah, don't do this. His arrogance forced him to do it even worse. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Talha, Alhamdulillah, I have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I feared Allah throughout my life. And therefore, Talha, I can tell you this much. And go and tell everyone that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment would ask me, Abu Bakr, who did you assign after you? I would be standing there on the Day of Judgment in front of the whole world and all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I have assigned the greatest person that existed in the world at that time. So if this is the matter of fearing Allah, then this is where I stand in that regard. That I can see, Ya Allah, I have assigned the greatest person existed in the world at that time. And he says, Alhamdulillah, I know so much that Allah will never turn me down at that time and will never bring anyone better than him. Umar radiallahu anhu was strict, that was true. Strict for what? أَشَدُّهُمْ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. In the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was very strict. And of course, we have to be strict in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, when we look at the things that Umar radiallahu anhu did and achieved during his khilafah, we have to agree that subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have blessed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with such an understanding that he really chose the most appropriate person at that time. At that time, it was only prediction. Now is a fact that we can see with our own eyes. So many things that we have ijma' of ummah about different matters of deen. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in disagreed about those matters. Umar radiallahu anhu brought them together and he did the ijma'. He had them, all of them agree to one point. And those ijma' are so helpful that if those things were not there in this time, at this time, ijma' ummah that especially took place during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we would never be able to agree even to the extent that we are together this time. Of course, there's no time and this is not the time to go into those details of what were the ijma' that took place during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, we can talk about it later on as we talk about Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. After Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu signed the khilafah to Umar radiallahu anhu, he gave him some advices. Beautiful will, you can see, for the next khalifa. And I have brought that whole khutbah with me, the will of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said to Umar radiallahu anhu, Ya Umar, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ حَقًّا بِاللَّيْلِ لَا يَقْبَلُهُ بِالنَّهَارِ وَحَقًّا بِالنَّهَارِ لَا يَقْبَلُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain rights of his that need to be fulfilled during the night time. He does not accept those things during the daytime. And he has some rights that need to be fulfilled during the daytime. He does not accept them during the night time. If you delay from morning to evening, from evening to night, and from night to no more to morning, it's not going to work, Omar. Things that have to be done at night time, you have to do them at night time. You can't wait for the morning to do them. Things that need to be done in the morning, you have to do them in the morning. You cannot wait for the night to do those things. It's such a great meaning of a life. The more we think about it, we get amazed that if a person is running the khilafah, and khilafah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not an easy thing. To stand on the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to stand in the mihrab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to lead the people who were led by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wasn't an easy task. Those people are looking at everything as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do it. You bring a person and you put him on that position. If that person is not a close match to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people are not going to tolerate it from him. You need to remember when Umar radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa and he asked, how about if I would do something that's against the Sharia of Islam, against the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What will be your reaction to that? And one of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in stood up in the middle of the masjid. And he brought his sword and he said, Umar, we won't talk to you. This is what will judge you. The sword will judge you, Umar, if you would try to do anything against the Sharia, against the Quran and the Sunnah. So those were the type of people, and you assigned Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We have to know that they would not accept not an inch, a centimeter or a dose difference between the deen that was established by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the deen that this Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has to go on with, and the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to deal with different matters. They would like to see everything from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the way they were used to seeing it from Sayyidina, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And people not having a complaint about this matter is a great thing. That no one is complaining that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is deviating from that path and he's not doing it the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. You find them just taking it. Yes, this is how he used to do it. This is what we are used to. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has to be a very busy person. If we look at this schedule of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't find a single minute of his life, a single minute of his life that was wasted, he's not doing anything. You know, many times we call each other and we say, what are you doing? And we say, nothing. What are you doing? I'm doing nothing. You want to come over? Okay. You would never go to a hadith and you try to call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and find a time that you would call him and you say, what are you doing? And he would say, nothing. There is always that he is doing something and everything is scheduled. And there is a hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that each and every time of my day is scheduled in such a way that I have to do that work in the time. And of course, the work is increasing. And more things are coming in between. once one of our teachers. He advised us about this matter. He said, new things to do, day-to-day life, new things are coming up. And we feel, okay, I'll do them as because then. He said, you can never be scheduled and do everything perfectly on time if you would have that attitude. That I'll do it after a few days. He said, our way of doing things should be, all of us have a very busy schedule. He said, squeeze your other work in between the schedules. And do it even if it's for a minute. Start the work. If you start it, you will be able to complete it. If you never start it, you will never do it. Squeeze it in between the schedules. And this is how you will be able to fulfill more things in the life. Not to talk about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and his schedule being a Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, who has to run the affairs of the whole Muslim Ummah. If we even take the scholars of the Ummah that came later on, we find that all the scholars of the Ummah, this is one of the things they practiced and they were made to practice when they were learning deen. How to use each and every moment of the life. Today, nowadays, we say, since I have nothing to do, okay, I'll spend some time on the internet. Play some games. Just go for outing. What's the reason that we have so much time going out for shopping, looking for things on sale and running around between a store to another store, from one side of the internet to another side and just scrolling throughout the whole thing? We have no importance of the time. We don't know what to do many of the times. We don't really know what to do. I have nothing to do today. Subhanallah. There is so much work needed in the Ummah. And people in the Ummah don't know what to do. People in the Ummah, they're playing games because not for some exercise, because they don't know what to do, so they will spend some time there. They're going for outing because they were bored at home. Where does this boring come from? Because we have no importance of the time. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ حَقًّا بِاللَّيْلِ لَا يَقْبَلُهُ بِالنَّهَارِ This is the first thing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu telling Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar, the work of night has to be done at night time. You can't just postpone it for the next morning. And the work of the morning has to be done in the morning. Everything has to be scheduled. Everything on time. You can't postpone the work. We find some of the scholars that it's so much work for the deen, other than all the lectures that they used to give, and the imamah that they were making, and the khitab, and the counseling, and all the other work, other than all of that, just the books they have written, it comes to about 100 pages that they have written in one day. We can't even read 100 pages. 100 pages in one day. And this is writing a book. I don't know how many of us might have experienced this. When we try to write something, write an article, it takes us months before we can finish an article of a few pages. And we have to think 100 times before whether I should do this or is this the right thing. And even after such a long research and thinking, we find that people have found so many mistakes in it. And those are the books that those scholars have written. They are the sources of this deen. Last week in the session I was mentioning a point. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi, who have written many books about hadith and explanation of hadith. He says about himself that whenever he writes something, and this was normally he would spend his time in writing. Whenever I write something, in between that period when I have to, when I'm resting a little, giving some rest to my hand, or when I'm adding some ink into my pen, so that my those minutes of the life or those moments of and seconds of the life, they won't be wasted. I keep on doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that time, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't question me, why did you waste that time? This is the importance of this time. They were using them not minutes, they were using the seconds of their times. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, believe me, the very important advice, something that we all have to keep it in mind. At night time we say, you know, okay, I know that importance, Salat of Tahajjud, I have to do it, but I'll do it, I'll start tomorrow. And that tomorrow never comes, every day is today. You say, I'll do it tomorrow, and the next day comes, and you say, okay, tomorrow. And things that we postpone, they never take place. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ حَقًّا بِاللَّيْلِ لَا يَقْبَلُهُ بِالنَّهَارِ There are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala require, they need to be done at night time. Rasulullah Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, لَا يَقْبَلُهُ بِالنَّهَارِ He is not going to accept it if you just postpone it for the next morning. Then he went on. And he said, وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَقْبَلُ نَافِلَةً حَتَّى تُؤَدَّى الْفَرِيضَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to accept any of your nafil till you fulfill all the fara'id. You keep on doing a lot of nawafil and no fara'id, Allah is not going to accept that. He says the fara'id are the key towards the acceptance. As long as you don't use the fard, none of the nafil will be accepted from you. لا يقبل النوافل حتى تؤدى الفرائض. And this is something very important that we have to remember. Sometimes we do so many nawafil. When it comes to the time of fard, we are missing it, delaying it from the time. Performing one fard on time is better than the nawafil of the whole year and of the whole life. We have to keep this in mind. One fard is more important to be fulfilled on time and according to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught us than the nawafil of the whole life. A person misses one nafil, one fard fast during the month of Ramadan and he would fast for the whole life to make up for that, he will never make it up. A person misses one salat al-fajr and then he keeps on performing tahajjud every night throughout his life, he will never make it up. The fara'id are fara'id. When they are gone, they are gone, that's it. Yes, we have to perform salat qada. We have to make them up for qada. But that's only so that we won't be punished and we won't have that great sin. To take that sin away from us, but as long as far as getting the virtue of the fara'id and getting the benefit of that fariḍa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala signed at that time, we can never make it up for that. Once it's gone, no way to catch it up. Once Umar radiallahu anhu, after Salat al-Fajr, it was normal habit that he would turn around and then just have a quick peek on the Sahaba radiallahu alayhi majma'een. And it was almost, you can say, it was the time of taking the attendance. See, who's missing? So he would turn around and then he would keep on reciting the tasbihat, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and he's looking all around, who's there, who's not there. So one day he missed one of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Umar radiallahu anhu, a little later in the day, he went to his home and he knocked at his door. His mother answered the door. So he asked her, where is your son today? I didn't see him for Salat al-Fajr. Is he sick? Is he doing okay? I came to visit him. She said, no. He was working last night. He was doing ibadah. And he went to sleep too late in the night. This is why he couldn't make it up for Salat al-Fajr in the Jama'ah, he did it at home. Umar radiallahu anhu said, if he would keep on doing these tahajjud throughout his life, and he missed just one fajr of his life in the jama'ah, he will never get what he would get by doing the fajr in the jama'ah. Tell him next time not to do the tahajjud if he cannot do it, but come for salat al-fajr in jama'ah. Another occasion he missed another sahabi. He went to his home and asked him. He knocked at his door. So that sahabi came, he asked, he said, "Who's there?" This is Umar. So he rushed to the door. He rushed to the door and opened the door. Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, he said, "How come you didn't come for salah?" "I wasn't feeling well." "You are not feeling well." He said, "Umar knocks at your door and you come and rush to open the door for Umar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mu'azzin is inviting you on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you to the masjid and you cannot go to Allah and you come to Umar. If you can walk to the door of your home, then you can walk to the masjid also. If you can open the door for Umar and answer the call of Umar, you have to answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he invites 5 times a day, hayya ala salah, come for the salah." So this is the second advice of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, to Umar radiyallahu anhu, "La yaqbalu nafilatan hatta tu'adda al-fariḍah." He does not accept any nafl till you fulfill the fariḍah. "ألم ترى يا عمر إنما ثقلت موازين من ثقلت موازينه يوم القيامة باتباعهم الحق." Umar, you have to remember, those people who will have a lot of weight in the scale of good deeds on the Day of Judgment, it will be because of following the truth and doing the good deeds. And those people who will lose that day, it will be because of turning away from the haq, from the truth. Umar, once you know something that this is true, you have to go for it. Whether it was in your mind before or not, whether a person who told you is a person who you like or not, if it is true and if it is the truth, then you have to accept it, O Umar, and put it with your good deeds. Otherwise, you will never have the success in the Akhirah. Inshallah, we will talk about a few more things about this khutbah or about this nasiha and advice of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in our next session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to follow what we have heard and follow the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, follow the ways of Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us to stand with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be with Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in on the Day of Judgment. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.